This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Forget the frustration of picking commerce platforms when you switch your business to Shopify, the global commerce platform that supercharges your selling wherever you sell. With Shopify, you'll harness the same intuitive features, trusted apps, and powerful analytics used by the world's leading brands. Sign up today for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/tech, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/tech.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Do you ever look at someone and wonder what is going on inside their head?
I'm joy. This is sadness. That's anger.
What?
This is disgust. And that's fear.
Ah!
We're Riley's emotions.
Wait, what? What happened?
She did something to the memory.
What did you do?
I just touched it.
Shouldn't make it change.
We'll change it back, Joy.
You can't change it back?
No, I guess I can't.
Good going, sadness. Now when Riley thinks of that moment with Dad, she's gonna feel sad. Bravo.
I'm sorry, Joy. I don't really know. I thought maybe if...
Just don't touch any other memories until we figure out what's going on.
Okay.
All right.
If you've ever been told that you're an ENFP or an ISTJ, then you've already taken the most popular personality test, now used by Fortune 500 companies, the CIA, and governments around the world.
I think there are different ways to think about the efficacy of the test. One is to think about the validity and the reliability of it. Those are scientific questions.
Many companies now believe personality testing is best to measure an applicant's friendliness, curiosity, and independence. Not everyone agrees.
There's no transparency about what it is exactly that the employers are looking for. They're looking for a certain personality type, and you may not know exactly what that personality type is.
Right.
I think the underlying problems about the way we colonize and manage people's psychological well-being and sense of self, that to me continues to be a problem no matter what personality assessment system you use.
Now a study from the Cambridge University says the pages you like are as revealing as taking a personality test, would you believe? In fact, some parts of your identity can be predicted with 95% accuracy.
Can I say that curse word now?
Hello and welcome to Science-ish. I'm Rick Edwards, joined as ever by Dr. Michael Brooks.
Hello.
Before we start, Michael, I was speaking to the producers beforehand and they wanted me to ask you this question. Which Lord of the Rings character are you?
Oh, we're not doing Lord of the Bloody Rings.
Thankfully, no, we're not.
Well, in that case, wisdom-wise, Gandalf, probably.
They predicted you to say Gandalf, and they wanted me to say, no, you're clearly... and I don't know why this is funny, if it is. No, you're clearly Gimli.
Oh, fuck off.
It's a good reaction. No idea what it means. Never watched the films.
Never read the books.
Never read the books. No interest. Not my sort of thing.
Hobbit?
Really.
No, not
for me. That kind of fantasy stuff.
I think I read the Lord of the Rings books as a teenager about 3 or 4 times.
Of course you did. You did a doctorate in quantum physics, mate. Like, that's mandatory. That's how you got onto the doctorate. The reason that they wanted me to ask you that is because this week I'm leading and we're going to be looking at personality testing.
Oh, this is going to be fun.
I think it's going to be interesting. I'll give you that.
So what's our piece of fiction?
So we're going to be looking at, in the last of our trilogy of animated films, the 2015 Pixar movie Inside Out.
I loved this film.
Did you really?
I did. I absolutely loved it.
When I saw the trailer, I was like, oh, this is going to be sick. And then I went and watched it, and I really liked it, but I didn't love it. I didn't think it was one of Pixar's best.
Oh.
Gotta be honest. But it is good. I mean, it's sort of, you're in a little girl's head, and there's a control room up there, a bit like it's a rip-off of the Numbskulls. Do you remember the Numbskulls?
Yeah.
Different characters, different personality traits operating in her mind, and that's basically it.
Yeah. I remember at the time just thinking, oh, it's, neuroscience as an animated, movie theatre experience. It's quite interesting.
Yeah, I guess I thought that the neuroscience is not
paper thin.
Yeah, but still, like it's good.
Clearly, I was in a good mood when I went. That's all I can say.
Yes, being controlled by one of your humours.
Yes.
So our big question is: does personality testing work?
So who have we tracked down to help us figure out which Harry Potter character you are? Malfoy, I presume.
Is he the little blonde evil one?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll take that. Yeah, fine. Anyway, we've managed to get Dr. Merve Emre from Oxford University, and she's just written a book called The Personality Brokers, The Strange History of Myers-Briggs and the Birth of Personality Testing.
Oh, so Myers-Briggs. I know quite a bit about this, actually.
Quite a little bit.
I was going to make a boast and say I know quite a bit about it, and then I thought...
You modified it halfway
like
through.
Everyone else, I actually know a little bit about it. My brother-in-law does Myers-Briggs testing. He's trained in this.
Just Myers-Briggs?
I think so, yeah. I mean, he doesn't like exclusively focus on just doing Myers-Briggs stuff. What he does is he kind of helps people to relate to each other within companies and stuff.
So in a way, I shouldn't be surprised that you know someone who does Myers-Briggs, because it is like the daddy of all of these tests, and it is the one that is most commonplace and most widely used. So the first thing that we asked Dr. Merve is, how did it get to be so popular?
The Myers-Briggs Type Indicator is the most popular personality assessment in the world. It is administered to over 2 million people every year in over 84 countries, and it has been translated into just a little over, I think, 24 languages. So the Myers-Briggs Type Indicator is named after the two women who designed it, a mother and a daughter pair named Catherine Briggs and Isabel Briggs Myers. And the first version of the indicator was patented in 1943. It was based on the language of type that they had learned from the writings of Carl Jung, the Swiss psychiatrist.
It is almost the rule that an introvert marries an extrovert for compensation, or another type marries the countertype.
It was designed by these two women who had no formal training in psychology or sociology, but who were self-proclaimed housewives and mothers, and believed that all of the work that they performed as women, managing the day-to-day operations of a house and all of the disparate and sometimes cranky personalities that jostled against one another in that home, had really prepared them to figure out what people's personalities were.
Do you ever look at someone and wonder, what is going on inside their head?
Did you guys pick up on that?
Sure did.
Something's wrong.
We're going to find out what's happening, but we'll need support. Signal the husband.
What did she say?
What? Oh, sorry, sir. No one was listening.
Is it garbage night? We left the toilet seat up. What? What is it, woman? What?
Isabel, at the time, had apprenticed herself to one of the first personnel management consultants in the United States, and he started selling it to some of his biggest clients like General Electric and Standard Oil and the New York Life Insurance Company. And the story of how the type indicator became the most popular personality assessment in the world is really a story of a kind of slow diffusion. A couple of people took it in the 40s, more people took it in the 50s. By the 60s, when the Educational Testing Service, ETS, was trying to figure out whether to publish it or not, they were helping to administer it to hundreds of thousands of college students, nurses, doctors, ministers, really just about any kind of professional worker you could think of. And then by the 80s and 90s, it really became a household name, a kind of staple for people interested in wellness, in self-care, but also for, you know, major corporations and the workplace more generally.
So this is based on Carl Jung. I'm laughing already.
Why are you laughing? Is all of his stuff discredited?
Basically, yeah. But I mean, the idea of this, like splitting people up into personality groups, that must go back sort of before him.
The idea of splitting people into different types is pretty old. And so Hippocrates, back in the 4th century BC, he sort of built on this idea of the humours, you know, the idea that different temperaments come about because you've got different amounts of fluid, types of fluid in your body. And he said there are four temperaments and you can split everyone into those types and generally you'll have two of them dominant. And so he said that you can be sanguine, which is with your kind of social and kind of enthusiastic about stuff. Choleric, which is like independent and ambitious. Melancholic, which is, means it's kind of not really what you'd assume that melancholic meant, but it just means like deep thinkers, very kind of analytical.
Right, yeah, yeah.
And then phlegmatic, which is just sort of quite peaceful, quite chilled.
Like me.
Well, maybe. And then Jung kind of extended these ideas and mixed them in with his own. And yeah, like I say, I don't think anyone currently working in this field thinks much of what he said.
Right.
Truth be told.
Really?
Yeah.
So they don't even think Jung is the answer?
No.
Right, they just think that this thing developed by two housewives who were kind of obsessed by Jung is the way to go.
I wouldn't say that exactly. I mean, I think what I find fascinating about this is that clearly there is something in people having different personalities, and you can see similarities and differences in people's personalities, and therefore it does make sense to look for ways of kind of measuring and quantifying
that. Yeah, okay.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And there should exist a way of doing it. Now, whether the Myers-Briggs test is that way, we'll come on to. But you can use these personality tests as a tool for some form of psychological evaluation to tell you some stuff about people. And there are two main types, so projective or objective. So projective tests are ones like, you know, the ink blot, the sort of Rorschach ink blot test. So you present a stimulus to someone and then it's open to their interpretation.
Yeah.
So you get them to say what they think, and it's obviously a subjective reaction. And objective tests are standardized, so they try and avoid responder bias and subjectivity by trying to have a much more objective test. So they tend to be multiple choice. So like Myers-Briggs is multiple choice.
Right, you just okay, have to say, yeah.
You know, which of these statements applies best to you, and then you
so
pick.
It's objective, and it's a sort of self-reporting questionnaire thing.
That's exactly.
Have you done it?
My dear wife is quite into it, actually. And she, I think she'd had a word with your brother-in-law. we gave him a couple of hundred quid and lo and behold, we were allowed to do this test. So yeah, I have done it. I can't remember what I got, even though I did it quite recently, but I did think that is a load of old baloney. When Ema did it, whatever she got, I was able to sort of think, yeah, there's something in that. Like I can see a seed of truth within those things.
Right.
And on mine, I genuinely couldn't. And it's not that I was looking for something in particular. It's just that I don't recognize those traits in myself.
So did you get extrovert or introvert? You remember that?
I can't even remember that, actually. But I mean...
So, even that's bullshit, though, isn't it? Really? Because you change with circumstance.
Well, this is kind of the big issue, is that personality is not necessarily fixed, so it may well change according to what mood you're in when you take the test. But the other thing is that Myers-Briggs splits you into 16 personality types, and it does that, so it's got these paired characteristics, so extroversion and introversion, so you're either E or I, sensing and intuition, so you're either S or N, thinking and feeling, so you're T or F, and judging or perceiving, so you're J or P. And no right or wrong answers, but you'll come up with a four-letter code, and then each of those is attributed with a name. So the categories are things like you can be like a craftsman or a strategist or whatever. And the sort of polarizing nature of that, of it just being like a binary, you're extroverted or introverted, already is problematic. Because I think that when you look at, and you know, like extroversion and introversion is definitely a thing, like, and you absolutely sort of have a almost like intuitive understanding. Like, you know people who are extroverted and you know people who are introverted. But the vast majority of people, as you can imagine, it's a bell curve.
Pretty much. Yeah.
And so most people are what you call ambiverts, which is they can be one or the other.
Right.
And this doesn't really, you're either E or I.
Yeah.
And even if it's given you a sort of percentage going, oh, you're 60% E, 40%, it's still saying like in that code, you are being delineated as that thing. But this is a big, as your brother-in-law well knows, this is a big, big industry. So the people who run Myers-Briggs, so it's licensed to a company and has been since, I think, the mid-70s.
Yeah.
And they roll it out and they're making like $20 million a year. Like most of Fortune 100 companies use it.
Yeah.
Most of them.
Right.
Schools use it, the military use it, hospitals use it. Like it's everywhere. Like people are really... They're just genuinely into it.
I mean, is it complete bullshit?
Well, that's what we asked Merve next. And spoiler, yes, of course it is.
I think there are two different ways to think about the efficacy of the test. One is to think about the validity and the reliability of it. Those are scientific questions. How valid is it? Which means, is it actually measuring the qualities or characteristics or preferences that it claims to be measuring? And how reliable is it? If one person takes the test multiple times, what are the chances that they will get the same type?
A few weeks ago, our job coach, Mary Abagé, revealed to me and the world my Myers-Briggs personality. It turns out I'm an ENFP. But to use Myers-Briggs successfully in the workplace, you need to understand not only your personality type, but those around you.
Most personality psychologists do not take the indicator seriously. So a lot of the research on it sort of peters out in the late 90s, early 2000s, once people realize that, you know, personality science shouldn't really be concerned with self-reporting indicators in the first place. But most of the science on it shows that it is neither valid nor reliable. That is to say, it's not measuring the things that it claims to be measuring, like extroversion or introversion. And we could argue about what those categories even mean in the first place. But that is a separate question from why people are so drawn to it, which has nothing to do with its validity or its reliability.
There's a couple personality types that are a little skeptical about this touchy-feely personality stuff, okay? Those personality types are ISTJs and ESTJs. And I happen to know that 41.8% of the people in this room are ISTJs and ESTJs. And I can typically pick them out in an audience because they're looking at me like this.
Often they take a personality test to gain access to a vocabulary for describing themselves, for understanding themselves, for knowing who they are. And I think what's extraordinary to me about the Myers-Briggs type indicator is the way that it's taken words like extrovert or introvert or thinking and feeling, and it's transformed them from these adjectives that are supposed to describe people's attitudes towards the world into types of people themselves. So it's very common to hear somebody describe themselves as an extrovert or say, I am an introvert or I am a thinker or I am a feeler. And to me, that's what explains the indicator's longevity and its appeal. It's given people this language of self that they can use to describe who they are and that is easily interpretable for other people. While there's certainly things to be alarmed about with the individual use of type, historically, what's much more alarming are the ways that major corporations, the military, universities, the church, basically every big post-war institution has used the language of type to organize people.
MBTI is a tool for enhancing workplace communication and performance and is led by a facilitator who, from the get-go, explains that there's a clear understanding and appreciation for the differences in all of us and that there is no right style.
The type indicator has often been used in corporations to not just to hire or fire or promote people, although it's certainly been used for that, but it's been used to convince employees that if they can do the kind of work that is best suited to their personality types, then it's okay for them to bind themselves to that work freely and gladly. It makes it much easier for the people that we work for to exploit us by convincing us that we should be doing our work because we love it or because it's best suited to our personalities.
So it's basically like saying, look, you're a Virgo. You need to just knuckle down and do this. This is what you were born for.
The comparison with astrology and horoscopes is pretty clear, actually. And even to the extent that it kind of comes down to the same thing, the Fourier effect or the Barnum effect, which is that people really like stuff when it feels like it's individual to them, the like totally tailored response, when in reality, it's quite vague and could apply to anyone.
Yeah.
But if you even like stuff like, if you trust the person who's administering it, so if I trust your brother-in-law and I think that he's qualified to do what he's doing, and then he gives me back this report and it features my name in it a lot, just very personal, I am more likely to buy that.
Yeah,
I'm more likely to be compelled by it.
Yeah.
And then you've got all sort of, you know, with the Myers-Briggs, it's all positive, like all of the categories are positive. So there's no negatives in there.
Yeah.
So people are always quite happy with that because they're effectively people are self-serving. Yeah. And so you're looking for affirmation of being like a great guy or a great girl.
So effectively sanctions like who you are. It's like, it's fine to be who you are and behave the way you do. Cause that's, you know, that's just, you know, who,
yeah, that's
you.
That's it. That's the fixed thing.
Yeah. That's the glory of you.
Yeah. But then, you know, you look at there's all this anecdotal stuff from businesses like McKinsey apparently used the big firm, used the Myers-Briggs, and everyone knows what everyone's four-letter code is.
Yeah.
And so if you pretend, like one guy was saying that he used to pretend, even though he got an E, he used to pretend that he got an I and introverted and use it as an excuse to like go home early and not go to like after work drinks. He'd just be like, sorry guys, I'd love to, but I'm an I, and that's fine. And everyone's like, cool. And I quite like that, where you're starting to game it.
Yeah.
But then there's another one where a management consultant said that this is only a few years ago. This is like a couple of years ago. The incoming management team during a merger were all asked to take the test. And the boss of the existing company said, yeah, we won't like fire the new people coming in who don't meet the personality type that we're looking for, but they will get weeded out over time. So literally, you just look at them and you're like, not going to work out for you, I'm afraid, because you're a blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
And I won't say that, but we'll get rid of you, don't worry.
Yeah.
But that's terrifying.
But you could also argue that over time, you would realize that you can't get on or work with that person because of their personality, and being able to put a label on it and sort of doing it actually gives you a kind of something to hang it on.
If the label is valid or reliable, yes. But what we've just heard from Merve is it's neither valid nor reliable. So if you get people to take it multiple times, 50% of people or more will end up with different results. That immediately tells you this is a crock.
Oh, yeah, that's
you
problematic.
Cannot, like, there's no defense for that. How can you get... It's still you. It's an incredibly blunt instrument. People are taking these tests not just because their workplace are making them to do it, but because it satisfies something sort of inherently like narcissistic about us. We really like recognizing... There's a thrill in taking these tests, and there's so many of them online as well now, not just, you know, like the silly little, you know, ones that tell you what Harry Potter house you'd be in, or what Lord of the Rings character you'd be, for example. Gimli, wasn't it? Was it Gimli?
Was Gimli.
And we like it because we're very tribal. Like there's a real, like, we get a buzz from knowing that we belong to a group of people.
Yeah.
And that's absolutely satisfied by things like the Myers-Briggs.
All right, so we've kind of decimated Myers-Briggs, I feel.
Well, it's decimated itself.
Yeah, and to be honest, our you know, guest expert has done the same thing.
Yes, it's not like we're saying anything controversial. Like, no serious psychologist takes it seriously.
Right.
Research into it stops like 20 years ago. It was like, no. And yet it still continues.
Yeah. So there must be other personality tests that do a little better.
So there is a thing called the Big Five, which are these characteristics that psychologists do think kind of define our personality type. So extroversion is one of them. And these are all sliding scale.
Oh, good.
So
okay.
Extroversion, emotional stability, agreeableness, which is my favorite. And one of the reasons they think that this hasn't caught on as much is because obviously on the other end of that sliding scale is disagreeable. And people don't like that. People
on
don't
the other end of that sliding scale is Rick Edwards.
But yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. And I'm fine with that. Like, I don't have a problem with it. But it should probably be rebranded to like compliant or challenging or something like that.
Oh, yeah.
Because
people
will be like, I'm a challenger. But yeah, they think that's a big factor. Like people are not into negative descriptions of themselves, like you. So we've had extroversion, emotional stability, agreeableness, conscientiousness. So don't know how do you reckon you're doing on that?
I'm good on that.
Yeah, I think
very
you are,
very
actually.
Strong.
Yeah, and openness. And those five, when those are measured, they're much better at predicting job performance and things like that. So therefore, should be used by companies if they're interested in using personality testing at all. This is a much better predictor.
Right.
And they've got sort of genetic and biological basis. So we're just starting now, like neuroscience has started to map areas of the brain and seeing activity that is correlating with these characteristics.
We have a major problem.
Oh, Joy, where are you?
We lost Goofball Island. That means she can lose friendship and hockey and honesty and family. You can fix this, right, Joy?
I don't know.
Oh.
But we have to try. Okay, come on.
Riley's gone to sleep. Which is a good thing, when you think about it, because nothing else bad can happen while she's asleep. We'll be back to headquarters before she wakes up. We'll just go across Friendship Island.
There's one actually fairly large study. So they studied 13,000 university students over 23 years, whatever. And they saw links between the big five traits and then the subjects that they chose.
Right.
And that's genuinely quite interesting. Because if, for example, someone was to say to you, you know, when you're making your A-level choices or, you know, what you're going to do after you finish school, and you're struggling and someone says, well, we can do this test, this sort of big five test, tell you something about your personality type, and then just give you a bit of guidance. Say, well, generally people who are, you know, and it's slightly like, if you're a bit neurotic, you're more likely to flourish doing arts and humanities. If you're an extrovert, you're more likely to go for something like law or economics. Sort of, it just, that can be a helpful guiding principle, couldn't it?
I suppose
If you're just getting a bit stuck.
Yeah.
I would say.
Presumably, though, all these firms are starting to look at these alternatives and sort of say, oh, let's leave Myers-Briggs and let's go and use the big five or something else now.
So we asked Dr. Mervé this, if we should be replacing Myers-Briggs with something that is at least a little bit reliable.
More and more people are turning to the big five personality inventory as a better, more scientifically valid and reliable model of personality assessment. One of the interesting things about writing this book is that I'm continually getting emails from people who have their own system of personality typing and that they're asking me to assess them. But I mean, something you can probably tell from the book is that I don't believe that we should have systems of personality typing. It doesn't matter really if it's replaced with a system that's more valid or more reliable. I think the underlying problems about the way we colonize and manage people's psychological well-being and sense of self, that to me continues to be a problem no matter what personality assessment system you use.
Riley's Islands of Personality, they're all down. Oh, this is bad.
We can fix this. We just have to get back to headquarters, plug the core memories in, and Riley will be back to normal.
Oh, Riley has no core memories, no personality islands, and no...
What? What is it?
You're not in headquarters. Without you, Riley can't be happy.
I would say another really important thing to be aware of is how the language of type is only extended to certain kinds of people. So when Isabel Briggs Myers designed the indicator in the 1940s, she didn't believe that anybody with an IQ under 100 should be given it because she didn't believe that they had the cognitive capacity to differentiate their preferences. They could not speak the language of individuality in the way that you needed to in order for learning your type to be something valuable. And throughout the history of the indicator, you see all of these moments where that language of self, that language of individuality, is extended really unequally. So men, for instance, enjoy it more than women do. The people who take the indicator are by and large white and affluent. And the questions, the design of the questions is impossibly bourgeois. So the questions are all about, how do you work? How do you go on vacation? How do you think about your education? And I think we need to acknowledge, and this is true for maybe all personality tests, that they're already winnowing at the level of the questions and who they're being asked to. They're already narrowing down the field of who gets access to that language of being an individual, who gets to think about their personality, even if only to type it.
I don't think we've ever had an expert on the, and we've done a lot of episodes now, who's slated something so hard. Impossibly bourgeois is good.
Yeah, I mean, she knows everything that's wrong with this, doesn't
no
she?
No validity, no reliability, impossibly bourgeois.
But, I mean, actually, there's a sort of dark side of this emerging,
isn't
there?
Yeah. But the fact that there's a clear bias towards, you know, as with so many things, wealthy white men.
Oh, no.
I know. what a surprise that is. But also, there's examples where, you know, these kind of bogus tests sort of psychometric tests are being used. So I don't know if you remember, back in 2013, the DWP, Department of Work and Pensions, bless them, and they get so much right. But in this instance, they were getting job seekers to do this online questionnaire that was, well, quote unquote, a load of old bollocks. And even saying, and it was came from their, you know, their nudge unit.
Yeah, oh yeah, I remember that, yeah.
And absolutely no rigorous scientific sort of psychological basis for it. And they were saying, and they denied this, but anecdotally, if you don't do this, then we're going to hold back your benefits for a while. I mean, really, like, totally, totally unacceptable. And the questions were like mental. Things like, do you agree with this statement? I never go out of my way to visit museums. What the fuck has that got to do with anything? Like, why are you asking someone that? What does that, what's that supposed to do to their, because I think that the idea was for it to be a kind of positive,
aspirational,
sort of, or like to make people feel good about themselves.
Yeah.
So that they were better equipped to go out and find jobs. That was the, like, I think it had a sort of positive ambition, but realistically, how am I supposed to feel if I don't go out of my, like, I'm unemployed, I'm on my ass, I just need my benefits, and someone is sort of slightly needling me for not going to the British Museum and sort of wanking off over Tutankhamun or whatever it is. Like, it's really, I remember reading about it at the time and just thinking, this is really, really not okay at all. There's one more. I read up, there's a good article in The Guardian, obviously, about this. Yeah. And one of the other statements on the test was, I have not created anything of beauty in the last year. thank you. I actually feel fantastic. And then at the end of it, you're supposed to be assigned a set of attributes that are all supposed to be quite positive. But what's my positive attribute when I say I haven't created anything of beauty in the last year? And also, who says yes to that? Like, genuinely, who says yes to that?
Yeah, I mean, I can't say yes to that. To
no,
be
of course you can't.
I've just done the bare minimum on everything.
Yeah, you selfish prick. Point being, yeah, that's a really nefarious use of these kind of popular but baseless tests.
So it's a sort of social control, isn't it? It's sort of manipulation of...
It's manipulation of that, and it's manipulation of the fact that people really enjoy it. That's really what it comes down to. People love taking these tests. And so the whole Cambridge Analytica scandal, where you kind of, this thing of like, collecting big data to predict behavior and then, predict personality and then try and influence them with targeted ads. So the classic thing is, if you're, let's say from the profiling, it shows that you are quite an anxious person, then you might want to target that person with stuff that's going to make them feel a bit more anxious, that favors your political party or movement.
Yeah.
And that can be, pretty awful. So it could be sort of saying, you're anxious. Terrorists, like that kind of stuff. And we'll be hard on those guys.
And this was targeted from things like BuzzFeed quizzes, wasn't it?
Well, yeah. So there was one particular test on Facebook that a couple of Cambridge University guys came up with that was using the Big Five, which actually I should have said has a nice acronym, OCEAN.
Oh, that is nice.
Yeah, that's nice. They got loads of psychometric data from it. And they were able to then, using those traits, so the OCEAN traits, and then their Facebook information side by side, you could then correlate what people were like with their personal details, so of their online behavior on Facebook. Facebook likes and gender and age. And
right, yeah.
And then you develop an algorithm, and then that algorithm, just by looking at Facebook likes on its own, could work out what people think and act like and feel like with like remarkable accuracy. So with 70 likes, so if they just say, okay, you've liked these 70 things, they could predict someone's personality better than their friends could. So when right, you say, what were the results of this personality test be, their algorithm would be able to get a better idea than someone's friends. And if you give it 300 likes, it would outperform like your spouse.
Wow.
So, and again,
it's quite scary, isn't it?
It is quite scary because you think, well, if people can that accurately predict what I'm thinking and feeling, and I don't know about it. In some senses, the internet, if people have access to the data, is like one huge personality test.
And it's a
just waiting
test.
For that. Oh, yeah, it's an amazing test.
You're not gaming it.
You're not gaming it at all. You're just behaving,
yeah,
being yourself.
Yeah.
And so it's much more likely, therefore, to give an accurate sort of representation. Even though, I guess that the thing that occurred to me when I was thinking about this is that personality, there is something underlying, but it isn't a set. It's not fixed. It's not a fixed sort of just thing that doesn't move. There's so many kind of dynamic parts. And you've got certain habits and tendencies, of course, but they're so influenced by your surroundings and stuff. But much more likely through, you know, doing this personality test you don't realize you're doing, i.e. behaving online, for people to work out your sort of your deepest, darkest motivations and stuff.
Excellent news.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I mean, this is why when my family send me, like, oh, do this quiz. We've all just done this quiz. You know, do
the Myers-Briggs. Is it from your brother-in-law?
No. I mean, it's just literally like Facebook personality tests and who are your BuzzFeed quizzes, things like that. I always say no. And I always say to them, have you learned nothing from the last 5 years of politics? But they don't listen
to me. And the answer is no, they haven't.
No.
So let's do a rundown. Do personality tests work?
I don't think so. I don't.
Myers-Briggs
has not come out well today,
I would say. And I've got to be honest, this episode will have no impact at all on the success of the Myers-Briggs type indicator. It will continue. People will keep using it. People will pay to use it. Your brother-in-law is going to be just fine.
Oh, good.
But
good.
It is a load of nonsense.
Right.
There are better ones out there, but slightly beware taking them and offering your data up in any way.
Just be content with who you are.
Science-ish is a Radio Wolfgang production presented by me, Rick Edwards, and Dr. Michael Brooks. The producers were Eli Block and Cormac McAuliffe. Sound design by Eli Block. Special thanks to Dr. Merve Emre. If you like the show, please subscribe and rate wherever you listen to your podcast. Thanks very much. It does help. And you can find us on Twitter at science_ish. So to give you a bit of context, here are some celebrities who've done Myers-Briggs and what they've come out as. So ITSP, introverted or introversion, sensing, thinking and perceiving, Dalai Lama and Putin.
Oh, I bet they get on really well.
Of course they do.
How is that done, though? I mean, is that done by guess, or have they both sat down and done a Myers-Briggs test?
I just read it, and I love the grouping. It's perfect. I mean, effectively, you get to that point, and you don't need to read anything else about it. Like, right.
They're both peace-loving guys.